This is October 6, 1982. I'm interviewing Miss Norma Ryan. My name is Andrea McElderry, and we are in Louisville, Kentucky. Miss Ryan, you said that you were born on Murray Street. Could you tell us where Murray Street is?
Murray is one block north of Maryland, where the fire station is. And we moved there. My family moved there from Sherwood, and I was born there. And when I was about 6 years old, they had terrific winter. They went to church with snow up to their knees, so they vowed that year that they would move. And that's the year we first moved to Barstown Road and then to Edenside.
Oh, so church was, where was church?
Church was still corner of Edenside and Barstown Road.
This was St. James Church, right. So your parents moved to Edenside.
They were determined that year that they were not going to go through another year like that. So they moved first to a house on Barstown Road and Eastern Parkway. And then this house opened up on Edenside, and I can still remember, I don't know where they were, edit this or not, but I can remember it was during Prohibition. And we moved a lot of things ourselves through the alley to Edenside, and I can remember bottles, you know.
Yes.
They were probably put in, under something in the wheelbarrow.
And,
So we lived there most all of our lives on Edenside.
Speaking of bottles and Prohibition, though, I am interested in that. And I was wondering, there must have been some speakeasies or something like that around on Bardstown Road. Do you know about
My dad worked for a distillery. My brother will know the name of it.
Uh-huh.
And see, I don't remember the details on that, but just that little, that sticks in my mind, those bottles being, quote, smuggled out, you know.
Yes.
In the darkness.
This was, you mean your father had the, no, the bottles were there in the alley, you mean?
No, we delivered some things down the alley to the house, mm-hmm. and I can remember those bottles. That's all I can remember.
Oh, I see that. You moved those at night down
the
alley.
Probably.
Okay, I see. Was your father then, if he worked for a distillery, was he out of work during the Prohibition?
Oh, he suffered a lot of losses that way. I can't remember whether he was out of work, but then Prohibition really did wreck the industry. And then he got a job with the National Bank of Kentucky, and the stock market crash came along 1929, and that bank failed. So then he went with the tobacco company, E.J. O'Brien Tobacco Company, which he stayed with the rest of his life. But he had two reverses with the liquor industry and the banks failing.
Mm-hmm.
I got off on that, but I just happened to think of that.
No, that's very interesting, because that tells us something about Louisville in general, too, which I never really thought about. Yeah. Well, now, you said you were born on Murray on this picture number one. Is that,
no,
what is that a picture of?
That's my brother, who was born on Sherwood.
So that was where your family lived before?
That's right. That was before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
They moved up from, my mother and father lived on East Gray Street when they married,
mm-hmm.
in a little apartment. And my father would come up to Cherokee Park on Sundays because he dearly loved it. That was just, he thought that it was God's own garden, and he was just determined to move up into the Highlands. The first chance they moved into the Highlands. On Sherwood, I think, was the first one. Then they lived on Beechwood, and then we moved to Murray, then to Bardstown Road, and then Eastside.
Where on Bardstown Road?
At Eastern Parkway, right after that big snow, they moved there.
What is there now? Not a house.
The White Castle.
The White Castle. Uh-huh. So do you remember when the White Castle was built?
Well, that's where I am with that 4th of July celebration. I was about maybe 4 years old or something.
So,
the White Castle was built quite a few years after that.
So this group here in this picture number two is sitting on the porch of the house that used to be where the White Castle is.
Right. And
Well, now, what are you doing there with your sisters and brothers there on that on the front steps? You have the American flags
it, it,
there.
It must have been a the parade. My mother made my little dress out of crepe paper with the stars in it, and we sat there, my neighbor and my little brother behind me with our flags. Just as happy.
Okay, this is, you mean the 4th of July parade?
Yeah, right? Must have been.
Could you describe it? Do you remember
now,
it at all?
That I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
Yeah. But did you, in later years, were you? Did they have a parade with the children in it that
no,
you remember?
No, I don't mm-hmm. think so. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't know whether we were watching a parade or not. Maybe mm-hmm. we just got dressed up for the 4th. There must have been some kind of celebration mm-hmm. for it.
Right, right. Well, the Tyler Park fireworks you were just telling me were really...
Now,
that
was citywide. People would come from all over the city, and they would stream down Edenside. We'd sit on our porch and watch them, or else we'd go down first. And everybody walked from Barstown Road down to Tyler Park. I had these big hills, and everybody would just sit on the hill, and they had really had wonderful fireworks, the kind you see that are commercial these days. And that was the big event of the summer.
Really?
The display, now I don't know who I don't know who funded it. How do you think about that?
I've heard that they collected money in the neighborhood, but I don't really know.
They could have.
Did what else? I understand they had speeches that day, or did you go for the speeches?
No, I don't remember the speeches.
Maybe they didn't that early.
Probably not. Of course, they had to wait till it got dark. Then we didn't have daylight saving in those days.
Well, do you remember? Did you have to move from your house on Bardstown Road, where the White Castle is now, because they bought it to build the White Castle?
No, I'm sure that isn't the reason, and I don't know why we moved from there. I could find out from my brother if that'll fill in that gap.
Okay.
If I can leave some gaps on here that he remembers.
Okay. What about what was across the street from your house then on Bardstown Road? There's where the Gulf Station is now. There's a gas station.
Oh, they were all homes.
Mm-hmm. On every corner there were houses.
Yeah, up in that area while we were there, there was a... there's Pepper's Bakery at Bonnie Castle on Barstown Road, and we would all have, somebody would have to go up every day and get the bread at Pepper's, because it was a private bakery, it was delicious. And then across the street from that was the Cherokee Theater, which is on the corner of Bonnie Castle, where that drugstore is now. And that's about the first theater.
That
was before, you know, the silent movies.
Oh.
And we'd go up to the Cherokee Theater and watch Tom Mix and William S. Hart. And we were in our glory with those. And that had the weekly serials. They'd leave you dangling from one week to the next. You'd go back and find out whether that man fell off that cliff. And then there was a grocery, Schlang and Yenner. There was a grocery next to Pepper's on Barstown Road. And Botler's Drugstore was up there. Now this is out a little bit farther.
Yeah, but out by Bonnie Castle.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Did the streetcar go to Bonnie Castle at that time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The streetcar at first turned around, the loop was the longest. That's the first time they had where it turned around. Then I think it went to Bonnie Castle. But I'm kind of hazy on exactly where the loop was on that.
Okay, but then you were talking about the businesses up around Bonnie
Castle.
Yeah,
there was a meat market, Pete Roser's meat market. We could go up there and I could still see, my mother would tell us what to get, and we'd get, a half pound of ham, and he'd raise this little, a little shutter, like. He was behind there. He'd raise that little shutter and throw out that meat for you. And there was a saloon, Effinger Saloon, around Sherwood. There was a grocery, Heckman's Grocery. And Frank, my brother, said there was a home on the corner of Eastern Parkway and Barstown Road, which was a Walsh home, where there was a big dog which bit him one time.
Hmm.
And that's where the Model Drugstore took over, and now that Schuster building is in there.
Oh, on the corner of Bardstown and Eastern Parkway.
That's right, mm-hmm. Where the Uptown is. Then when the Uptown opened, we were just in our glory. That was just a block away, and that was big time.
When did it open? Do you remember the 20s?
I don't remember. Yeah. It must have been in the 20s, maybe mid-20s.
Do you remember the first movie you saw there?
No. I wish I could. I can't even remember last week, But on the corner, on our corner, on the inside of Bardstown Road, was Ralston's Grocery, and we got our nickel allowance maybe once on Saturday, and we could go. First, we go to church, go to confession. Then we could go and spend our. We got our bath first. Then we. Then we go to confession. Then we go to get our candy. Just that routine every week. And I remember going down there, and I had this clutched in my hand, and I started looking at that candy, and I was mesmerized by it. And I kept going, one of those, and one of those, and one of those, and one of those. And the person looked at me, and she says, "How much money do you have there?" And I showed her. And I just had about a nickel, so she had to take half of it back. And we used to play prisoner's base on that street, on Eden side. Kids would line up on each side, and you'd run out there and try to touch one. If you touched one of them, you'd get them on your side. And then if they took a prisoner, you'd have to stand there with your hand held out, and then your team would kind of try to run over and touch your hand and release you, free you from it. I came in with, we lived with skin knees, and scabs, and everything.
Your parents didn't care if the girls were out playing like that.
Eden Side was our playground. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't much traffic then.
No. Mm-hmm. No, you couldn't begin to do that now. That's about all I have on here. Oh, and the Baxter Theater was at where Highland is now. And there's some kind of a heating company has its office down there now. Mm-hmm. But that was real long, and I can remember cold, bitter nights. We'd go through it just to go down there. And then in the summer, they had an open air. They called it open air. That was a forerunner of the drive-in, I suppose. And if it rained, we'd go across the street to the Baxter and get inside.
The open air movie theater was
across the street from Baxter. They called it the Highland.
The Highland. Uh-huh.
That's where there's a gas station on the corner now, where that triangle comes in.
Oh, yes, right. At one time, I understand that was the beer garden. Do you remember that at all?
I remember that.
Yeah, I'm sure that was before Prohibition.
Probably was. Mm-hmm. I can't help you there. Yeah.
Did you walk down to the Highland
yes.
Theater?
Oh, yes, all the time. Sometimes you'd win the dishes, and you'd walk home with carrying all these dishes and freezing to death.
Dishes, like
they used to give away dishes.
Oh, uh-huh,
the, draw your name or something. Between reels.
Did you take the streetcar much to go downtown?
Yes, of course. I didn't go downtown much when I was young, mm-hmm. but as I grew up, we just lived on a streetcar. We didn't have a car for mm-hmm. many years, and then when I started working, and to go to school, I went to school on at Mercy on East Broadway. And I had to take the car there.
The streetcar.
Streetcar, yeah. And then, of course, buses later on. But I can remember the streetcars. We'd take a pin and run out there and put it on the rail. And then after the streetcar would pass, we'd go out and pick it up and see how they flattened it.
What did you do with the pin after
that? I don't know. Go home and show it to Mother, I guess. We had easy ways of entertaining ourselves.
Yes. Right. Did Mercy's now still at the same place?
It's still there.
Okay. And the streetcar turned, didn't it? Didn't it turn and go down Broadway? The streetcar that went down Bardstown Road, and then did it turn down Broadway, or did you?
Well, they had a Baxter and a Bardstown Road. I mean, Broadway. The Broadway car went down Broadway.
I see. So if you wanted to go on down Broadway, you would have had to change there at Cave Hill.
I don't know whether we transferred there or not, or whether that just turned down there. I don't remember.
Where did you go down on 4th Street to buy your clothes and such?
When I got into my teens, we would sure go in town Saturday. And of course, then when I worked, you don't want to get into that part, I'm sure. But when I worked, we used to work on Saturday morning. We were always off on Saturday afternoon. You go in town, buy your clothes. Go from one store to the other and get your gloves, your hat, your shoes, everything to match. And they didn't have racks then. You know, you had to go up to a counter and tell her what size, what color, and how many. It's just a completely different world of shopping than it is now.
Yes.
This has its advantages, but you usually got waited on then, and if you could get the right size and so forth. But let's see, when I did most of my shopping, it was over a counter like that. Mm-hmm.
This was at the same stores that...
Yeah, Stewart's and Beston's and Biggs and Selman's and Coleman Strauss. And that's my working years, you know.
Where were you working?
I first started working for Dr. Simpson in the Brown Building between 3rd and 4th on Broadway. His eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist. And then I worked for a skin dermatologist. And then I started working at WHAS.
Oh, really? What did you do for WHAS?
I was secretary and program director of I was the second woman in television with Marion Gifford, who would head the cooking show. And I was secretary and program director, and we started television, WHAS television. That was at 3rd and Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And
so they've moved since then. They're down on...
Yeah, they're at 4th and 5th and Chestnut, I believe.
So you went to work for WHAS just right around 1950?
I was 46.
46.
I was with radio first. Mm-hmm. And then when they went into television, they drafted me for that. That was very fun. That was show business. And then the war came along. And I went and worked for the powder plant board in Indiana.
Oh, really? During World War II?
Mm-hmm.
So your first job, that was during the Depression?
Oh, yes. You made I started about $12 a week, and it raised you $14 every so often.
We were
glad to get it. We just scrounged around for a job.
So that was going to be my question, if you had trouble.
My brother worked for Franklin Distillery, and he got me one of them. But Dr. Simpson was our doctor, so he needed a girl, so he got me. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that, too. I had a lot of varied jobs, and all of them were interesting. And my last one was with Bellarmine College, from where I retired.
Oh. Well, you've had many interesting jobs.
Mm-hmm. Loved all of them.
You said you went to Mercy. Did you graduate from high school
mm-hmm.
from Mercy? And then you went to work after high
That's
school?
That's right, because nobody even thought about college in those days.
Especially for women, I imagine.
That's right. You had to get mm-hmm. a job and help mm-hmm. with the expenses and the family. I didn't want to leave anyhow. My family life was the greatest thing in my life. You know, I didn't want to go off and get an apartment by myself. I wanted to come home and tell them what happened that day. And everybody listening to you and interested in it. And everybody bring their little stories home. And then we were a family that loved music. We all played the piano. My brother played the cello. And we just spent a lot of time around the piano. And my mother had almost an operatic voice. She could have had a career, probably. So those were happy days.
I've heard that there was another family not too far from you on Eden Side, and I can't remember the address.
Right across the street from the school.
And they were musical.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's all they did. They both played the piano. The mother taught my mother singing. My mother lost her firstborn when he was 5 years old, and she was just devastated. So she turned to having her voice trained. And then she really had a pretty good career while raising a family, too. But those were the bones. You'd go in their house, they'd always be in the living room playing or talking about music or singing or something, and you'd see, go back in the dining room, they concentrated mostly on the world of music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excuse me. They made their living through music, too.
No, I believe Mr. Bowen had a job, but I don't know where he was.
Well, now, this house, you said it was across the street from you. Was that
it's
the one?
It's still there.
Oh, it's still there.
No, the Bowen house.
Uh-huh, the Bowen.
It's still there. It's across the street from the school.
Uh-huh, yes.
It's mm-hmm. very shaded. It's set back. Kind of run down.
I think that's the house now that's empty.
I'm sure it is.
There's mm-hmm. a debate over, it's in probate or something
like that.
It's
an interesting house.
Yeah, that's right. It's a shame to see it go to waste.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, you said that you mentioned your family several times. Could you tell us who was in your family?
I had two brothers and two sisters. And my one brother died when he was 5 years old, and I was right in the middle. And my youngest sister was born to my mother pretty late in her life, and so we all practically raised her. We all helped, and then she's now a Carmelite nun.
Oh, really?
But, and sports, we were all crazy about sports. My brothers played all sports, and we always had a baseball glove and baseballs, and my sisters and I would get out there and throw the hard baseball, you know. People walking along the street with dodges. We were very interested in sports, and that's when we had a team here, professional baseball team, the Colonels, and we'd go out to that every night, and my mother would just, that would be great for her. She, after a hot day in the kitchen, she'd go out there and sit in the last row, and it was Parkway Field.
Mm-hmm.
We had Parkway.
And the breeze would
That was just great. That just renewed her. Mm-hmm.
So this was like, how old were you when you were going to regular to baseball games?
We started out being interested in sports when my brothers were in school. They played all the sports. And then I guess maybe in our teens we started going to the...
Did you ever use Tyler Park to play softball or tennis?
I'm sure they did, but yes, I played tennis down there. I never got any good at it. But
mainly, when you all played, you played just out in the street.
Yes, right. In our backyard, we had a long backyard. We played back there.
Mm-hmm. What about the school, St. James School? Did you ever play over there?
No, we never even played baseball over there. They really don't have any. Well,
they
now
have
they
a
don't
basketball
have
court.
Yeah. They have a gym in the basement, but it's a very low ceiling right now. That was one of them.
Well, speaking of St. James School, I think when you first moved there, that it was a frame building. Did you say?
When it was first built, there was a small frame school. Yeah, that was the old schoolhouse, and then when they built the church.
They built the church. It was finished in 1913.
Mm-hmm. We must have had a frame church to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and then when they built the permanent church, which is there now, they must have enlarged the school and used that. But the first school building was the old-fashioned wooden schoolhouse.
And did you start to school in the old
mm-hmm.
school building? So what grade were you in, if you remember, when they built the...
I was
bricks?
About the fifth grade.
Fifth grade.
The present school building. Mm-hmm.
And we have this picture here, number three, where you're with your family on top.
Right.
You said it
we
was
used
cool.
to go over there when it was in construction, climb all over the place. When the floor wasn't laid yet, we just crawl over those girders. And I can remember going through there and falling down in one night. It was kind of right across the street from us. Falling down in one of the ditches. Scared to death. I didn't know how I was going to get out. But it was fun to watch that being built and to go there and play through all
well,
of
now,
that.
How did you get on top of the church?
You got me. I don't know. It was the first part of it. The back part of this mustn't have been finished yet.
Oh, I see. So you climbed all the big girders.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, now, who's taking the picture? Are they up on top of the church?
I don't know
too?
That either, because that's five of the family.
Is that your two brothers there?
That's my big brother, my little brother, my sister, myself, and my father.
Oh, your father was up there too with
mm-hmm.
the tie.
Oh,
on.
Yeah, he was as much a kid as we were.
Huh.
He loved all the things that we did.
So you got that from
mm-hmm.
there? Well, now we have another picture, number three here, that has you.
No,
is that
you? That's my older sister. I probably wasn't born then.
I see. On a pony, on a mule.
Donkey.
Uh-huh. Right.
Those days, entrepreneurs would go through their donkeys and have the children sit on there and take their pictures. You know, they had a perfect captive audience with families with young children. And
Did they take the children for a ride at all, or was it really
just
taking pictures?
Just the posing. That donkey probably wouldn't even move.
Did you ever have your picture taken?
No, I never did. I don't know what happened there.
Did they? This would have been over on what then?
That would have been
Murray
probably.
Mm-hmm. So did they come down Eden Side with the donkey?
No. Oh, no. I don't remember when we were on Eden Side. That goes way back. That's
That was maybe before the streetcar. When
yeah, that was 19, let's see, about 1913 or 14, something like that.
Well, now, one thing, when you were talking earlier about going to buy bread every day, I've heard people talk about Donaldson's Bakery Wagon.
Well, Donaldson's used to, that was when cars came in, and they used to deliver through the neighborhood. And they had very good bakery goods, and they'd come, I don't know where they came around every day, but you could always, you'd look out for them. And they had a good sales area there.
So they would have been, so was the bakery still down on Bonnie Castle after the cars?
No, I think probably Donaldson is much later than Pepper's Bakery. He may have still been there. I'm sure that was served as competition.
But you really didn't need to go to the bakery.
No,
after
that's
Donaldson
right.
Started
you
delivering.
Knew it was going to come by just like the ice cream van.
The ice cream for just ice cream bars or bar fruit? Yeah.
And I can remember the ice trucks too. The ice wagons. We had delivered to us all the time. You'd put out the little card in your window, and whichever way you turned, it would determine how much you wanted that day. One of your pounds, I guess, would go out. And he'd come in with these ice tongs and with that big hunk of ice on his back, and we had ice boxes, we called them. And he had to empty the pan under the ice box every night because it had melted. And then we would jump on the ice wagon and get little slivers on the back. That was part of our afternoon too. We had all these little intervals. You just waited for every day. Simple things that would amuse you and entertain you.
What you said? You jump on the wagon. So this was a horse drawn.
No, yeah, horse drawn.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember when your family got their first electric refrigerator?
Yes. No. Let's see. When would that be? I remember when we got our first frost-free, but that's...
That was quite a bit later.
Yeah, right. No, I can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember. I'm sure we were all delighted with it. Probably sat around and looked at it.
Well, what else was delivered? Was your milk delivered, or did you...
We had the milkman. He'd come by every morning on the back porch. And on the cold days, that cream would have pushed up over the top.
Yes.
I'm sure you've probably seen pictures of that. Then we'd pour the cream off. You had the cream on top and the milk on the bottom. We'd pour the cream off. We didn't have it homogenized. And we'd use cream in our coffee and then you'd drink the milk.
Yeah, well, that made it nice. You
could
have both.
So you had pure cream for your coffee.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, were most of the houses on Eden Side that you remember when you were a child? Most right around you were the... Did it seem like there were houses all along the way?
Yes, They were as far back as I can remember. They were real close.
But down across from the park, now were there many houses down there?
I don't know. On Barringer.
Well, no, I was thinking toward Tyler Park.
Oh, I was thinking Cherokee then. I'm sure some of those going down Eden Side, like the Hennessy's house, I think is fairly new. Relatively new. That probably wasn't there then. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those homes are very old. The sister's house is a real old tall house, which is right opposite Nars' place. And that was there. I used to take piano lessons there. Wouldn't practice. You know, the sister would give you your little sheet, and every day you're supposed to put down how much you practiced. Mm-hmm. And I had other things to do. Just like any normal kid, I didn't want to practice. And that day of truth would come, I'd have to go down there and show her and struggle with my conscience. Did I, you know, practice any that day? And she'd just shake her finger at me.
Well, some things haven't changed on Eden's Side.
That's
I'm sure
right.
that. Let's turn this tape over. All it's right. just about ready to... This is side two of the interview with Ms. Norma Ryan. I'm Andrea McElderry. It's October 16, 1982. You, right at the end of the other side, you mentioned Cherokee Park, and that reminded me that I wanted to ask you if you spent much time in Cherokee Park.
Yes. Mainly, we didn't. I think my dad must have walked over there many times when he had problems of growing family and finances and so forth, and that was just his salvation. Then when we got our first car, we would take a ride over there at night to cool off, and this, that was heavenly. In fact, I think I learned to drive over there. And we had picnics over there, and I know St. James Church always had their picnic at Big Rock. And I never played tennis over there, but it was just such a beautiful, it's just like a garden for us and close.
So you really didn't go over there much, just by yourself or with friends to walk.
See, it was a little farther. It was a little far to walk. Mm-hmm. So, but it was after we got our first car that we then went over there quite often.
Usually to Big Rock, or did you go up to Hogan's Fountain? Or?
Mostly Big Rock. Uh-huh. And we'd just drive around. We got so we knew all of the roads. It is kind of confusing if you don't know where you're going. They said if you follow the lamps, you could get out. The lights, if they follow the lamps, you can get out of Cherokee Park.
So but, what, did they have lamps then?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know if they still have them or not. Mm-hmm. Big bulb things. But even to this day, I know where I'm going over there. And it isn't that easy.
No, it's not.
I remember the three sisters, you know, recently one of them, they had to chop one of them down. We always remember the three sisters and the other big brother.
The big brother. Now, where are the three sisters?
They're right together, the three sisters and the big brother, and they're right off of the entrance into Seneca.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you go over the bridge at Big Rock and turn right to go to Seneca, and you turn left and down there where Alta Vista comes in.
I know where that is.
But that's had publicity lately.
Right, because they were damaged. One of them was damaged in the 1974 tornado.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the tornado just tore the park. That hurt us like it was our whole body. Yeah. It really
Well, now, were you living on Evenside in 1974 during the tornado?
No, I was living here then.
And it didn't hit us bad here on...
No, we didn't have
anything. Boulevard Napoleon.
I was at Bellarmine that day. I was working there, and it took the roof off of the tennis club. But that's as close as I got to.
Now, speaking of destruction, I know you said that the house that you grew up in had been torn down, and I want to talk about that. But first, could we look at some of these other pictures, some of the surrounding pictures that have been torn down? Now, here is the picture of... the rectory, the St. James Rectory, and a little of the church and a little of the school, and another one that shows more of the school, but there's a big white frame house between the rectory and the school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not there now.
No, and that when they built the rectory, they wanted all of that land, and that man was stubborn. He would not sell. So he just was determined to stay there, so they built around him. And for years, it has, I don't know how long it's been, it hasn't been... too long that it was torn down.
Oh, really? Now, you said that he wasn't Catholic.
And he wasn't Catholic, and he was just in enemy territory there. He was just surrounded. It was kind of bad all the way around. But we prevailed. And I don't know how they could have done without that room now. That's part of the parking lot.
That's right. That is the parking lot. And did it finally, do you know if he died and eventually the property was sold?
I can probably, we can research that too. My brother may remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to ask him. Mm-hmm. Well, then here's another picture of, this is you or your sister?
That's my sister.
Okay. Standing here, and you said this is on Eden's side, and this is picture number six, and we're looking down towards Bardstown Road. And it looks like there's a house right there on the corner
of
Behringer and Bardstown Road where there's a parking lot.
That's right. There was a beautiful brick house. And I believe that's the parking lot now of that coin collector.
Oh, Treasure Island?
Treasure Island, uh-huh.
Right. Yeah.
But Behringer had a lot of beautiful homes like that. And that was on the corner for many years.
Mm. Yeah. And this is just another shot looking out in your front yard down toward this white building here. Is that still there?
I can't tell what that is.
There's a house next door to us. Yeah, that's that house, I suppose. No, this is... Mm-hmm. That must be the cleaners.
I see, and they were there by the time...
They were there many years. Uh-huh. There was, to go way back, there was a grocery there. Uh-huh. And then there was an ice cream parlor for a short time. And then the pair of dry cleaners.
I see. So it was first a grocery, then it was an ice cream parlor, and then it was the cleaners.
There may have been others in between, but that's pretty close. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, you're in your front yard here, and you said that your house was then torn down. Why was it torn down?
Well, when my dad died, there were just two of us left, my mother and myself. We decided it was too big for us to take care of, so we decided to move, and we put it up for sale, and for a couple of years, it was just languished. Couldn't sell it, so we finally, Mr. Hettinger bought it, and
Hettinger, the real estate?
Yeah, real estate. Mm-hmm. Only he's an architect now, he's in real estate now. Probably would buy them and sell them right away. You know. Mm-hmm. But he bought it with a view, which he did, I suppose, of building an apartment house. 14 apartment building, which he calls the 1829 Eatonside, I think.
Yes, right. So your house is now where the apartment building is.
Right.
Now.
Right. And we moved in 64.
And then he bought it and tore it down. Now, let's see, what was
that? Something about the house.
Yeah. Well, you have these pictures here of your house being torn down, and I know you don't want to talk about it too much.
Oh, that's all right. It was very nostalgic and kind of a bittersweet for me. I'd go back every day and take pictures of the the stages of destruction.
Yes, right. They really did quite a job. Now, there was one here. This is a beautiful tree.
Is that still? That's sheltered. No, he tore that down. Mm-hmm. That sheltered us many times.
What kind of a tree was it?
We played prisoner's base around there, you know.
Oh,
it was a maple.
A maple tree. Uh-huh. It would be very beautiful right at this time of year, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Who raked the leaves when
we had a lot of... they weren't so willing, but they were helpers in the house with all the children. Yeah. And my dad and my mother even got in and cut the grass. So we had enough of our own labor for us.
So you all did all your own work and such. Yeah. Yeah. Now, what about this house? Now that here's a picture of it, it's all gone, and there's this house next to it. Do you know if that's still there or not? Or did they tear that down too? I'm not sure.
It must be that house that faces Bardstown Road, that did face it. See, right, turning the corner down there. Mm-hmm. I just can't orient with that. Because that's a residence.
Now, this is your backyard here.
And, right.
I mean, I know I can go and look, but I'm just, do you know if that garage is still there?
That isn't there.
That's been torn down.
I don't know what he has back there. Of course, the apartment building takes up a lot of the back, what was our backyard. But when we moved over here, there was a loft. My grandmother took care of chickens, and I can remember climbing up in that loft. Spider webs and everything. Then we tore that down.
Now, did your grandmother live with you when you first?
Well, we first moved over there. Yeah, she used to do the cooking.
Oh, really?
Uh huh. She helped my mother with all of us. Mm-hmm.
Right. Your mother had enough to do with the children.
That's right. It was my dad's mother.
And here you are in the backyard. that looks a little later.
Atlantic City.
Uh huh. In your swimsuits and such. And the back porch there, was that a fairly large porch?
Oh, I think so. My mother used to have she put the washing machine out there in the summer. Mm-hmm. And of course, the clothesline, she always had them full. And the basement doors and the hose, we get out there, and that was our that was our backyard pool.
And this must be the living room. It looks like there was some really very nice wood.
The wood was great.
Oak?
Uh-huh.
Do you know?
I don't know what guy it was. That's the mantle. It was real. Mm-hmm. Always, all he had to do was polish it.
Mm.
Yeah, that's it. And high ceilings.
Mm-hmm. Right, you can see how they go all the way up there. Mm-hmm. And of course, that must have been about 1950-something with the TV set.
Yes, that's right, because maybe early 50s.
Now here's another shot of the backyard, and there's some other buildings. This is looking the other way,
this
away
is looking
from Bardstown
toward,
Road.
That's right, yeah. Down Edenside. Mm-hmm. And that's the alley back there, and that's a barn that I'm sure has been demolished. And then right across the alley are the backs of the houses on Edgeland.
It seems like there were quite a few little buildings like that along. I know there was one behind my house that was torn down. Were they just not big enough for cars? Do you think that's why people tore them down, that they were originally for chickens?
They were sheds-like, yeah. They were very primitive, and you just put anything back there, I suppose, just to get rid of them. Maybe the lawnmower and tools and that type of stuff, but they were in pretty bad shape.
Of course, now today we have aluminum sheds.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And this was just the old fence there. Wooden fence.
We had the wooden fence between both houses. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes you good neighbors, you know.
Yes,
they say good fences make good neighbors.
Yes, right. Well, the nice thing about that fence is it's low enough that you could talk to your neighbors
over
it.
Oh, right.
Whereas now the fences, it seems like they're so high that...
they're meant to keep each other out.
Well, you lived on Edenside then from, about 1918?
1921 to 1964.
What do you think was the most... What change did you like the least over the time? Did you notice...
You mean in living there?
In living there, the way that the neighborhood changed, did it change in ways that you didn't like or ways that you liked?
Well, I guess it's that I was changing so much and my life was changing so much. I was growing up and hopefully maturing and getting one job after another. And we had good friends with the priest across the street, and then they would leave, and that was kind of hard. Mm-hmm. But as far as the physical setup of the neighborhood, mm-hmm. I don't remember much change. There really wasn't much change. People.
So it was really
their buildings. They were pretty stable, and you didn't think about it. Tried to keep it up to date, modern, and in good shape. But.
And now after World War II, a lot of people did move out to the suburbs and such, but people on Edenside didn't really join in that movement.
Of course, my brother left home and married, and he moved to St. Matthews, but we had no desire to move to the suburbs. We loved the Highlands, and during the flood, that was a great place to be. You know, we had people and our relatives came up, and we had some of the troopers were here from Pennsylvania, were helping with the typhoid shots and things over at St. James School, and people stayed with us. That was a desirable place to live then.
Yes, I understand quite a few more people moved out after 1937, too.
Into the house, they probably did.
Yeah. But by then, Edenside was pretty much built up. So
that's right.
So it really mattered. We were talking earlier about some of the people that I have that were living on Edenside in 1915, and you said that you bought your house from, your parents bought the house from Jacob Zinn.
Zinn is all I remember.
Yeah, and you don't know why he sold it. Yeah, right. And then you said...
That's all I remember.
Mr. Beck, G.F. Beck.
Beck, Mr. Beck lived next
you.
Door for many years.
What do you know about Mr. Beck?
He's all his family are dead except his daughter, who lives out in an apartment. But they were rather settled. He and his two maiden sisters, or one of them was, and a daughter. That's all. And they were rather settled, and we were a young, growing family. And we'd sit on our porch and sing, harmonize until the wee hours of the morning. And I never. You really thought about, wonder how he felt or how they felt about that. But I suppose in a way we kept them kind of young too. You know.
Well, so he lived there with his wife and also his two sisters.
No, he was a widower.
I see.
And his two sisters and their daughter.
I see. So.
And their daughter married him. While she was being courted, they had a swing on their porch that swung just like ours did, and he would her. Future husband would come and they'd sit on that swing, and we would sit on our swing and listen to them. that was very fun.
That was another way to entertain
yourself. That's right. We just didn't let anything get by. It could be some fun.
Yeah. Oh, here's the, let's see, we have the St. James School thing here. Well, I'll have to look that up. But what about the Jeffers? Well, they would have been across the street, I guess.
I don't ever remember.
You might just look and see if you recognize any of these
Mayors
names.
Mayors lived two doors down.
Mm-hmm.
They were living, and Mr. Stewart, he lived, I remember him, and Geislick was the man. We would drive him crazy. I can remember Mrs. Geislick saying, "You get off my property or I'll shoot you in the foot." I always remember that.
They didn't have any children?
No, no. Uh-huh. Says, you know, but you see the world differently from about 3 feet tall.
Yes, you do.
And I remember Stalin's.
Mm-hmm. What about Lydia Stull? You said a woman ran the candy store. Was that by any chance the same
woman? No, I don't
because it said she was a confectioner.
And that was on the corner?
Well, I'm not sure. It said she had a business and a residence.
It just rings a little bell, and I'm sure my brother will know about Stull.
Okay.
Kohler, I don't.
They may have been gone by then.
Does this give that 1833?
That's the address.
Oh. Right.
And it doesn't give any 1831.
Well, that's where the Becks lived. Because they were
the
next door to us.
Uh-huh.
No, Becks were 27. 31 would be. That's that building that was torn down.
Oh, I see. That
that's
was
the one
house
toward.
Right.
Yeah, toward Bardstown Road.
Mm-hmm.
And different people lived in there. It was never very settled as far as families. So I just don't remember a whole lot about that.
Well, now, you said you went to St. James School. Did you know Marianne Knopfsinger?
Uh-huh. She was in my class.
She was an Audrey. Her last name's Cruz now. What was her maiden name? She lived down in Quadrant. Audrey, I don't have it with me.
Was she Marianne's age?
I think so. Now, I don't know if they were in the same class. Maybe it was her brother that was in Marianne's
class.
Right.
Oh, was it?
Reese, I think.
I mean,
she had a brother that
Ralph
used to
Reese.
Teach. Ralph Reese used to be real mean. I think,
really?
Or
I think
something.
He was killed in the war, too.
Oh, no.
But he lived down, right about a quadrant.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember Audrey very well, but Marianne lived probably up there where you live.
Well,
in that area.
Okay, she lived on Edenside for a while, but then they moved to Castlewood.
Oh, did
and
they?
Then she grew up there at 1540 Castlewood, mm-hmm. right on the corner.
But when
Baxter
she was going
Castlewood.
To St. James, she lived up the hill on Edenside.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm.
So how large was your class?
We had about 25, I suppose.
That was
the graduate class, yeah?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Were most of them from right around in the area?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you played
was
with...
either on foot or riding. Yeah. No, I didn't play. You know, our family we were kind of self-contained. We just kind of got all of our fun out of games that we managed to work up together. Mm. My mother's Italian, and they claim that Italians are insular, you know. And I don't know whether that sifted down to us or not, but we just had enough. We ran always to, and you didn't have to worry about anybody going home or anything. Mm. Or another mother objecting because we had the one mother.
The one mother. Yeah. It sounds like you all had a wonderful time.
We did. My childhood was very cherished very much.
Well, it's really part of this project is hopefully to
right.
make people aware of all those good times.
Because things aren't that way anymore, I don't think.
Well, I think we can call it a day.
All right.